Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/android. And by Netflix. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, Android device, or TV instantly. All stream directly to you, saving you time, money, and hassle. For your free 30-day trial, go to netflix.com/twit. Welcome to All About Android, episode 43, recorded on Monday, January 30th, 2012. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And we have with us in Eileen's place, of course, it's hard to fill Eileen's shoes.
It is.
And they're probably, you know, she probably wears
a few sizes smaller. Yeah, a little bit bigger than hers.
Than you. But we have Aaron Newcomb, Floss Weekly on the TWiT Network, also The Source.
That's right, The Source, video podcast.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
We are super stoked to have you back on the show.
Yeah, and thanks for having me back.
It's right. Dudes Gone Wild on all that Android. Yeah, when Eileen's away, we're gonna do it extreme.
What does that mean when you're talking about Android? What is extreme in the Android world?
All about testosterone here on TWiT Network.
We're going to be talking about dude apps. We're going to be talking about apps for dudes, hardware for dudes. It's going to be all your Android dude news.
And two people just unsubscribed.
Sorry.
More to come. This week, we will actually be discussing a few things that aren't dude related. Manufacturers scaling back their hardware, how devs can actually sell their app assets, Mobile World Congress rumors, because that's right around the corner. There's certainly going to be some cool stuff coming out of there. And, of course, we have our arena with a few... What ended up being free apps this week? They're all free.
That's our theme. It's extreme free apps.
Because guys don't like to pay for anything.
Right.
They want it free.
Dudes want their apps for free. Sorry, I'm totally on the extreme thing.
Did you drink Mountain Dew
the sugar and the Snapple just kicked in.
Oh, so. Snapple. Okay. All right. Cool. Well, let's hop right into the extreme news.
Android.
All right.
The chat room is dubbed Mandroid. which is a very good chat room.
Yeah. All right, high five. That might be the
extreme.
Title. Mandroid. Right, I'll just go ahead and write that down.
Yeah, there's our title.
There we go. Got that out of the way. I don't have to think about that anymore. So first off, it's about time. HTC UK chief Phil Roberson told Mobile Magazine that HTC plans to refocus their smartphone efforts by producing less phones, but of higher, what they call hero quality. Roberson said we ended 2011 with far more products than we started out with. We tried to do too much.
Interesting. Wow.
This seems like a theme because if you remember back not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago at CES 2012, Motorola CEO Sanjay Jha also made a statement alluding to the possibility of scaling back the number of Moto devices in 2012. What do you think about this?
Well, they're both companies that have a lot of products on the market.
A lot.
I mean, like, look at, up here on the screen, you could see that when you see it in a gallery format, it's just like, whoa. Yeah. I'm a person who does work in product stuff, you know, my day job, and I believe focus is better.
Yes.
I'd rather see less devices that are awesome than a bunch of devices that are filling a ton of niches.
Right. This is really good. There's two ways that this is good. One is it takes away from consumers having to make a choice. I mean, I'm always getting questions, which Android device should I get?
Yep.
When we get an Android device, there's hundreds of them. Which one should I get?
I get that a lot, too.
So this, you know, cuts that down a little bit, makes it a little bit easier for consumers, and it makes it better for developers. Because now, not only developers of apps, but also developers of the hardware, right? The hardware developers at these companies can focus, like you said. They can focus on things that they're trying to get done. When you split your team up 100 different ways on 100 different products, it makes it very hard to get things, new innovations plugged into your phones. Now they can focus and hopefully bring out some, the fewer phones that they do bring out will be much better.
From that are supported in the long term, right. Which is a huge complaint, is that, you know, a device comes out, and because they've got a million of other devices in the cooker, you end up not getting, you know, you maybe get one update from Gingerbread to Ice Cream Sandwich, or from, you know, from Froyo to Gingerbread, and then it ends. It's like if they have less, they can focus on the few phones that they put out.
The obsolescence rate is out of hand. But I'd be curious from an academic standpoint to understand what the motivation between all the different devices were, because, you know, is it just because new technology, oh, we can do an AMOLED screen, let's do that, and like, are they rolling the, or are they trying to fill different market segments? And if you scale back the line, I know we've seen a lot of, you know, increase in Android sales, and we've attributed that to there being a lot of product in the market. Mm-hmm. So if you have two of the, you know, if you have HTC pulling back and releasing less, will that affect those sales numbers? Will they still fill those market niches?
Right. And how will it affect the manufacturers' relationships with the, especially here in the United States, since we have contracts for our phones, you know, how will it impact their relationship with the wireless providers? So if you think of it, they all like to have their own phone, right? You know, Verizon's got this and AT&T's got this.
Right.
Sometimes it's the exact same phone. They give it different names. But I think it'll be interesting to see how it impacts that as well. Maybe you'll see more and more of the same phone on, you know, multiple carriers.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people would love to see that.
I think
because
so
there's always that one phone that's on a different carrier that you're like, why can't that just be on mine?
Right.
Do I have to switch carriers just to get that device?
Like your phone now that I can't get because I'm not on Verizon?
Oh, well, yeah.
Well, I could get if I wanted to pay full price for it, but I don't want to pay full price for it.
Yeah, but I mean, actually, the Galaxy Nexus is kind of an anomaly in that regard because it is coming out on other...
Well, hopefully, it will. Yeah, but we'll see. But when it first came out, I was like, I couldn't do it.
Always that way.
And I will always call it the Nexus Prime.
I know you.
I can't not call it the Nexus Prime.
You'll probably get it, and then you'll like, well, I guess the Galaxy Nexus is nowhere printed.
Right,
but you'll write it on there.
I'm just going to call
it. You'll etch it into the back just so that people understand. No, this is nothing. But an awesome thing. I think more manufacturers need to do this because obviously it's very confusing for the casual consumer.
I firmly believe focus is always good. Good things always yield from focus and like paring down and doing a good job on fewer things. You know, they've got sales numbers to hit. So it's a tough position to be in. I think it's bold to be like admitting it. You know, like to say we tried too much. That's awesome. I like that.
It
honestly.
Seems to be kind of a theme.
Yeah.
I mean, there's two big big companies that are absolutely guilty of this, both coming out and saying, you know what, 2012 is going to be different. Yeah. I guess that remains to be seen. It's Motorola that we're talking about here. And how many versions of the Razr are there now?
Exactly.
We're going to talk more about the Razr later.
Resolutions are all fine in January, but let's see where we are in December, right?
All right, Aaron, you got the next story.
Yes, let's talk about developer news, adding a little bit of a developer flavor here to this episode. First of all, if you've created an app and no longer wish to develop or support it yourself, why not sell it to someone who will? So this is in my case, for example, I wrote an app and haven't touched it since, right? So maybe somebody else could find a use for that. Mm-hmm. There's a new service called Apptopia, which promises to help devs sell their apps to motivated folks who will keep the dream alive.
Yeah.
And the site plans to the site plans to launch this February. So they're already announced or coming out or found out, as the case may be. So this is a service that actually takes takes your app, and they're basically a go-between or a broker between you and someone else who might want to buy that app, buy the rights to that app and your code, so that they can go do something with it. So I think this is great because there's obviously, suffice it to say, a ton of apps out there for Android and for iPhone and now for lots of other things too. Mm-hmm. So I think it's great to have a service that'll come along and help people actually sell their code and the work that they've already done to somebody else who can take it and make it better. What do you guys think?
I think this is absolutely necessary. There needs to be some sort of a marketplace for this because, mm-hmm. I mean, there are a ton of people that maybe were never developers before or have never – let's say owned a business, and when you're developing apps, you're a business. I mean, you're targeting customers, you're creating a service. Service is expected to be supported, maybe not necessarily in perpetuity, for a certain amount of time. And so there's definitely value behind that. There was even a story, I don't know, it was probably about a month ago, of an Android developer who created an app that made okay money. I wish I could find it. I was searching for it, but I couldn't find it just now. And ended up selling the business, aka the business. App rights on eBay for quite a bit of money to somebody who, you know, probably has plans to do something with the name and end up making it an even better app in the long run and make more money. I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, I think the point you have about it being a business, I think a lot of, you know, kind of hobbyist developers or whatever don't realize that aspect. And then also, you know, I've talked to a lot of developers who realize what the life cycle, once you birth something into the world, you are then responsible for it until you decide to stop supporting it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you're lucky enough to build up a user base, people want support and have some sort of dialogue between you to know when updates are coming and things like that.
Yeah.
And also, like, if you want to get paid, like, that's a, you know, like, there, you know, it's, I'm kind of surprised it took this long to not have a marketplace for people to actually be able to cash out. And then I'm wondering if we'll see, like, professional incubators, in the right word, but like aggregators, like, you know, like, I'm going to start a company that
just burn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like the real estate market, right?
Exactly.
Take up the real estate for really, low cost and then turn it around and sell it or whatever, or start developing something that you know is a great idea that you can kind of get in the process and get to a certain point, but maybe you can't take it to that next level, sell off the idea.
Exactly, because that's the one thing that I've learned in the short period of time that I spent here in the Valley and San Francisco and in the startup scene and stuff like that, is that ideas are great. Everybody's got ideas. I got a great business idea for you. You know,
sure.
But the people who are successful, the people who can actually produce something and show, look, here's a prototype I did, here's a proof of concept, here I actually built it, that is tangible, and that's something that you can actually get some money and or investment for. So,
And how many times have you seen an app and you said, oh, this app would be great if it, you know, just did this or just looked this way, or if the interface was a little bit better.
Right.
You know, who knows? That app may be up for sale. You can go buy it, develop it, and make it just the way you want. So
I can't, that's actually a really interesting point, going to the site, and I wonder if you'll be able to just, like, browse.
Browse apps for sale.
And be like, wait a minute, I use that. I love that one. Yeah. I'll go ahead and
It's an interesting idea. It's definitely interesting.
Totally. So I'm sure there'll be more details to come in terms of, you know, how much these things are going to cost and, you know, what the legal ramifications are, but it should be pretty cool. Also, on a side note, very interesting today in Google Plus, I noticed that there was a new Google Plus developer page that was put up by Google, of all people.
glad it was up by them.
Exactly. You know. But it is an Android developer page, and you can add the Android developer page to your circles if you're on Google Plus. I hope you are. It's an official Google page for Android devs to meet, share, and discuss the latest on Android development, including Hangouts with Google Developer Relations, as well as other devs to discuss things related to Android development. So this may be a great way for folks to actually, you know, I would love to talk to some of the actual Android developers at Google, the people that work for Google, and say, you know, how can I make this particular thing in Ice Cream Sandwich work better? Yep. You know, how can I transition my apps, for example, from whatever I built them for to Ice Cream Sandwich? How can I make use of this new menu system? You know, things like that. I think it would be a really great way for developers to interface with other Android developers and hopefully with some professionals.
Yeah, and that's their plan.
That's the place to do it.
Have the Hangouts right there directly with your peers and with the people that are creating this stuff.
And again, it's nice to see Google utilizing the tools and products they've introduced in a holistic kind of manner.
Okay,
Android developers come to Google Plus. You can discuss there, and you know, as opposed to some arcane that damn message forum section on Google, which whenever I get a link there, I'm like, oh, it's death, because you're never going to find a good answer.
Right. But, yeah, totally.
We'll see if it's a good resource for developers in the long term, though.
And I think now that Google Hangouts can do things like share your desktop and things like that, it makes it a lot easier to do this kind of thing that we're talking about, right? Oh, let me show you what I did in this program I wrote. You know, you switch to your desktop and you say, you know, here's how you do it, you know, and actually show people how you did it. So it's kind of cool.
Just a real quick aside, Rapscallion in the chat room posted a link to the app I was talking about that was sold on YouTube. It's the Buckshot iPhone app. So it's an iPhone app, but it was sold for $16,600. And I think it was posted, currently makes $300 a month. So it's sold for a significant amount more than its monthly take. But again, it has, you know, that user base, and they're you know, if they work in like in-game purchases or whatever, you know, something like that.
And also that was done in an auction model. So perhaps there could have been a little feeding frenzy that went on as well to inflate the price.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yay, chat room.
Yeah.
Hey, chat room rules. You take the money you can get. That's what I've learned in this business. Somebody offers you money, if you don't have any other offers, take it.
There you go.
All right. So moving on, in some of the more lighthearted news, Android news.
What are you talking about? This is serious stuff.
Apparently I get assigned these serious stories. This just in, U.S. Android users use smartphones more often in the bathroom, survey shows. And this is one of the possibly best or worst images I've seen with a blog post in a very long time. You can see up here on the screen. Really curious what phone she's using, but a little graphic for my taste.
Yeah,
I generally have problems with these sort of stories because, yes, let's see. What, I think that's just a cordless phone. Either that or that's like an old Nextel, like the push-to-talk.
That's a feature phone.
But anyway, looking at the story, apparently, and also one of the worst, this blog post is one of the worst leads I've ever seen. Android's number one, apparently, when it comes to number one and number two. It's awful.
I'm second-guessing
including this, yeah, because I'm skewering it. But this is the problem I have with it. So they're saying a survey's showing that Android users are more likely to use their phone when in the bathroom, and they're talking about actually picking up calls, which is horrendous. When you think about it, to the tune of 87%.
I want to think about it.
Yeah, exactly. 87% more likely to, and that's 3 percentage points higher than BlackBerry users and 10 percentage points higher than iPhone users. And this is the problem I have with these surveys. A survey of 1,000 respondents.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that
right.
Clearly enough sample? I mean, I'm no statistician or whatever, a mathematician or anything like that, but I feel like 1,000 people isn't enough to make this a valid study.
It can be enough if it's picked – if it's picked correctly, you know what I mean? If it's picked completely, I don't know, in a good way, if the picking is done, 1,000's a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I don't know. You know, I guess there's no way to really know.
It's not statistically significant.
Yeah,
if you look at how many phones there are, you know, I remember my one statistics course I took in college, right? If you look at how many phones are out there in the marketplace, to sample 1,000 people, there's no way. But it's just hilarious. I mean, you got to see. If nothing else, this thing shows that certainly Apple users are more hygienically sensitive, or whatever the right word is.
I don't know about that. Well, that said, I mean, we're all professionals here. I'm not ashamed to admit. I'll check my email. I'll see what's going on. You know, the phone's right there. Why not? I'm not taking a call though. That's where you draw the line.
No, definitely not taking a call.
That's just inappropriate.
No, that's over the line. Yeah.
So extreme news brief brought to you by All About Android. Let's move on and forget this happened.
All right, let's do.
All right, so we're going to move on. We got a little feedback, and we actually have a voicemail, which has got a Google TV question, which is right up my alley.
Hey, AAA, got a Google TV question. I got a Logitech review. My sister got the Sony Google Box. Mm-hmm. Just wondering, is there a video calling feature that we can use, such like Skype or something? Let me know.
All right.
I'll hear it on the show. Thanks.
Cool, you bet.
He's very laid back.
Yeah.
This is a tough question because, so it's great because when you think about it, Google TV, video conferencing, you've got a big, you know, you've got a 42-inch, 46-inch, 53-inch TV. It'd be awesome, especially if you've got kids to go, you know, show grandma and grandpa, whatever. Yeah, not so much yet.
You want the Back to the Future Part 2 experience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the Logitech review actually shipped with a Logitech proprietary product, video conferencing product, not Skype, that works from Logitech review to review. And actually, I don't even know if it still works after the Android 2, the Google TV update. Yeah. I don't have a review, so I'm not sure. Some Sony hardware supports using Skype on Google TV, but with a proprietary Sony USB camera. And beyond that, you're SOL. Yeah. Like everybody else, Skype doesn't work on Google TV. You can't download it. You can't plug in a USB camera. As far as I know, I could be wrong, but from what I briefly looked into it over the holidays, and it seems to be very platform proprietary at this point, which kind of stinks. Yeah. You know, and here we can see a video of the Logitech application that they did, you know, uniquely for the Logitech review. And that was a big part of Logitech's push when the review came out.
It was.
We're going to utilize our camera. We're going to use our software. You can use, so if you review to review, that doesn't help you for if your buddy has a Google TV on the Sony Blu-ray or whatnot. So, yeah. It kind of stinks, to be honest with you.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It could be so much better than that.
Oh, it should be so much better.
It must be hackable, though, right? I mean, if you're running Honeycomb, then you've got support for hosts. Yep. Mode USB, so you hook a camera up
and Skype,
root the device.
Yeah, and Skype exists for Android, so you can just grab the APK, and you might be running in the phone,
interface,
interface. But hey, if it works, it works. I haven't had a chance to try it or play with it yet. But it would be a good experiment for somebody at home with some time on their hands.
And these TVs are coming out with Google TV Google TV integrated and built into them. These TVs also need to have what all of, you know, the monitors have nowadays is that camera built into it.
Right.
Because that is like another killer feature of Google TV. If you're really trying to get people into the platform, I mean, just giving them the ability to easily with their TV that they already have, make these video calls and call, you know, call their family.
And honestly, this potentially could be where Apple beats the TV manufacturers because there's rumors of an iTV or whatever. And I bet you, dollars to donuts. They're going to include iChat and FaceTime or whatever.
Sure.
And I can't believe I just said dollars to donuts. And I and the problem is that you've got general TV manufacturers with the whole proprietary deals. So, for example, not even talking Google TV, but my brother-in-law has a brand new Samsung LED, the thin ones, the smart TV, and it has Skype on there. It only works with the Samsung proprietary USB camera that costs $170.
Give me a break.
Can you believe that?
It's so lame.
Yeah, so,
why isn't it just built into the TV? It doesn't make any sense.
That's where they got to go. So it's one of those things where the idea, we're all in agreement, the idea is there, the technology and the business behind the technology isn't supporting it yet. So I'm hopeful.
Yeah. Just real quick before moving on, speaking of the review, did you hear the news that basically Logitech basically said they're done. Their stock, I think, is depleted.
I'm not surprised.
So you now have a collector's item if you have the Logitech review. It's probably still can be found here.
Yeah,
and there.
You're probably, if you see one, grab. I mean, if you've been thinking about it, if you see one, go grab it.
I've still not pulled the trigger on a Google TV, and the review is the easy way to do it.
Right,
I just need to do it.
I love it. I love it.
I know.
I hug my nightly.
I just had to figure out how
I say goodnight to it. I pet it. No.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's fantastic.
You do.
No, but I mean, case in point, like last night I was home. We were watching a movie, and then we watched Captain America, and then at the end of it, then we went to YouTube and we watched the how it should have ended animation.
Oh.
How Captain America should have, like, it worked so nicely. Like, never got up off the couch. It was perfect.
Nice.
So,
awesome. Well, I hope that answers your question more or less, anonymous, whoever you are.
And we hope the answer will get updated in the future.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's take a quick break and thank one of our sponsors, one of my favorite things in the world, Audible.com. This episode is sponsored by Audible at audible.com or audiblepodcast.com/android, to be specific. Audible is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, fiction, nonfiction, periodicals, all that stuff. For listeners of All About Android, Audible is actually offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. Now, I was kind of going through my library to see what I've listened to and what I enjoyed. I always tend to pick the longer books because I like to have as much listening, much stuff to listen to as possible. And I also really like kind of rock bios and autobiographies and stuff like that. And recently I finished Tearing Down the Wall of Sound, The Rise and Fall of Phil Spector.
Nice.
And it was a really engaging listen, not to mention, wow, that guy, he's kind of a douche.
Yeah.
Gotta say,
yep.
In a lot of ways. By the end of it, it was like I followed the Rolling Stone autobiography. Who is
not
it?
Mick Jagger, but
no, the guitarist
Keith Richards. Yep.
Yeah, Keith Richards' life was one that I listened to that was just fascinating, and the whole time you're just kind of in awe because he's so sharp, and the way that he tells his story in that book is just really engaging. And then you go and you listen to the book on Phil Spector, and you're just like, wow, what a piece of work this guy is. Like, they're so opposites. But anyway, so you can find that on Audible, that and just a ton of other great audiobooks. You guys listen to?
I'm a big Audible user, actually, and my son is too. So I get something, I preview it, and then let him listen to it, which works really well. One thing I'd recommend is, if you're into science fiction, Alastair Reynolds is an author that writes some really interesting things. And, one of the ones that I really enjoyed recently was called The Prefect, and it's narrated by John Lee. So I don't know if you've ever heard of any of John Lee's, narrations that he's done, but he's really, really good, in terms of his characters and things like that. So pretty much anything that John Lee does, I will, at least take a listen to, and I would definitely check out The Prefect. It's kind of a science fiction police drama, and it happens thousands and thousands of years in the future. I think it's not even set in Earth time. There it is. You can take a look at it if you're watching the video, but I would definitely go check The Prefect by Alistair Reynolds.
Nice.
Audible's one of the services that I pay the monthly fee for, and I don't. I need to be better about it. I've been on a actual reading kick, but every time I browse Audible, there's always something. I've added a bunch to my queue. I need a commute. I need to stop working from home. That's
Oh, no, totally. Yeah. Like I said in a past episode, once my commute went away, it's like, how do I listen to all these audiobooks? I have so many in my queue that I want to listen
to. Come on, honey, we're driving to Reno. Let's go.
You don't mind if I listen to this on the way, do you? Anyways, you can check out the library and see what they have in store for you, because there's just a ton there, and I'm guaranteeing you, you will find something that's interesting to you. So to download these books for free or any other of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/android. Again, that is audiblepodcast.com/android. We thank them so very much for their sponsorship, their support of All About Android. Love you guys. All right, let's jump into a pretty chunky hardware section.
Chunky,
meaty, buttery,
manly.
Apparently, I like to use food to describe things.
I forgot about buttery.
Yeah, buttery smooth. Okay, well, let's start off here. How about CES? Let's follow up
We're still talking CES? The hangover CES continues?
Yes, the hangover unfortunately does continue in more ways than one. So first off, the Droid Razer Max. We talked about it. Is now available for $299 through Verizon, $199 through Amazon, actually. They have a deal that you can go there. Amazon often undercuts the price that you can find at the actual carriers. I think there's something about how you have to really kind of read the fine print on those.
Amazon deals, and the other one that's actually pretty good is the food place. No, where you go to buy Costco.
Oh, yeah.
Costco has some good deals, too.
Yes. Yeah.
They're usually at least $10, $20, $30 cheaper than you can get it at the carrier. And Best Buy is usually the opposite. Like, Best Buy won't honor the deal that the carrier has.
Mm-hmm. And when you go to Costco, they come in those great little blister packs.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, the little plastic that's impossible
to cut
open.
Yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's great.
That's a downside.
That is totally a feature. And Sasha Segan, actually, at PC Mag, reports almost 17 hours of continuous 3G talk time in his time with the Razer Max. 14-plus hours of playing a local video file with maximum brightness. 14 hours. That's pretty
really
damn good.
Wow.
7 hours of streaming audio over 4G LTE. And I might as well go ahead and show it off. Right before the show, Nicole Lee, who produces the Before You Buy, and she's been on the show many times.
Yes.
Threw this into our laps. It is the Droid Razer Max.
Someone pinged me on Twitter asking if they should buy it. I'm like, yes, you should. I think it's a nice phone.
Well, yeah. I actually did like the Razer. I spent time with it and did a review for Before You Buy. Oh, it's over here.
There you go. Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and spend some time with the Max and kind of see what's different. I mean, really, there isn't a whole lot different here other than the 3,300 milliamp hour battery.
The blinky red light.
Oh, yeah, that's because it's out of battery.
Oh, yeah.
So the Droid Razer Max, which has an impressive battery, is out of battery.
Ironic.
Because Nicole's been playing with it too.
Yes, she's had this on for like 59 hours.
She's been watching Gone with the Wind on loop.
So I have to charge it up. She literally just gave it to me. It probably arrived here without a full charge. So that's probably what the deal is. But, I mean, it's still pretty dang thin, especially when you consider that this is one of the higher capacity batteries in just a mobile phone period out there right now. Stock, anyways. Motorola also posted on their community blog that the Razer Developer Edition, so talk about Motorola, trying to cut down their versions and everything like that. Apparently not here. They have a Developer Edition that would be coming soon to the European market, very soon, they say, but they don't have a release date. They're touting an unlockable bootloader in that, and it will be appearing in the U.S. in the coming months as well. So still more to find out about that. It would be great if they all had an unlockable bootloader.
I wonder if that's Google's influence, maybe a little bit of Google's influence coming down to Motorola.
Yeah,
could
be.
Saying, hey, make these. Why don't you put out a developer edition? Why don't you make it a little easier to either that or maybe they're the Motorola folks are being influenced in that direction, saying, look, we're going to be part of Google and we should cater to developers a little bit more.
Culture change like now that we're on part of Google, let's do developer friendly kind of things.
When you go to that's not it. I went to an official Motorola dev site. Let's see here. Is this in? Of course, you won't be able to see it on the stream. Yes, it is. You won't be able to see it on the stream, but on the Moto Dev site, they actually have the Motorola Razr Developer Edition. There's a link right down there. It says, for more information, click on this webpage below that. Oh, yeah, you got it. And also, they show the Zoom there. So, you know, I guess they categorize the Zoom, or at least this particular Zyboard? Zoom.
And that's a Zoom.
Yeah, that's a Zoom. Kind of in the same classification as quote-unquote developer devices.
Interesting.
So there you go. See? But yeah,
I do like the battles that I called the Battlestar Galactica, you know, bevel.
Yeah,
like
a good way to describe
the edges, you know. Like, yeah, it's a nice phone.
It's a touch that is unique to Motorola, and that's good. That differentiates their design, at least.
Yeah,
you know,
fascinating.
So, anyways, Max. I mean, the downside here, of course, is that there is no ice cream sandwich, at least not right off the top. But I mean, it's getting ice cream sandwich,
yeah.
And if it doesn't, huge revolt.
Could you do it yourself with that stuff? You probably could.
Well, it's an unlockable bootloader. Yeah. So, and I mean,
Razr, you can load CyanogenMod or something.
Yeah, like.
Even the Razr, which is a locked bootloader, I think there are ways around that at this point. They always find a way.
Yeah, there's always ways.
On big phones, they always find a way at some point. So.
Yep.
And just real quick, AT&T Galaxy Note available February 19th for $299. We covered that at CES. Our editor here, Tony Wang, has one of these, and he loves it. What's interesting to me is that AT&T is now on the $299 bandwagon. But, I mean, mind you, this is a larger phone, so maybe they're justifying it that way.
Yeah, even larger than the Galaxy Nexus. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also heard that there's a rumor that Sprint's going to be getting it as well. It's called the Galaxy
Journal.
Yeah, something like that. It's not the Note, it's the Journal. So so there's rumors that Sprint's going to get it as well.
Yeah. So there you go.
Cool. All right, so we were talking earlier about the phone I refuse to call by its rightful name, not the Galaxy Nexus Prime, Nexus Galaxy. No, the Galaxy Nexus for Sprint actually is going to get it's got a sign up page on the Nexus site. That went live, but it's got no release date set to it at all as of yet. So you can sign up for more information and be told when it's going to come out, but there's no any date pointing to when it might be released. And the device will be Sprint's first LTE phone on their network, and which is pointing to the assumption that it probably won't launch until Sprint's LTE network is actually deployed.
I know, right?
Like, and that's mid-2012, they're saying.
Would they really release Sprint's first LTE device before their network is kind of deployed?
Or could they be doing some sort of live testing of the LTE network controlled by just the number of phones that are sold by selling one LTE phone? So you might, if you're a little dubious about Sprint's LTE network, when that release date does come around, be wary, because who knows the status of their network, what it will be. But it's optimistic that they're actually it's on the site, it's on the official site.
Of course.
They're taking signups, you'll be notified. But again, no promise of any sort of date.
Sure. And I mean, if you're on Sprint and you're an Android fan and Galaxy Nexus is released on your network, whether it has LTE or not, it will eventually, you're getting it.
Yep.
Getting it.
And you're assuming, I mean, the phone's gonna have a dual radio like it does now on Verizon anyway, right? So it's CDMA. It's LTE. It's just that even now you can actually clock down your phone to CDMA on Verizon's network if you want to, to save battery life, for example.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You can actually turn off LTE and just go CDMA.
Yeah.
So, you know, they could release it and just say, look, you know, it will do LTE when we push the network live.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
Yeah.
That's probably what they're going to do.
Cool. And so for those of you who are like me who don't have a Galaxy Nexus and are still waiting either for your carrier to get it, or maybe you're waiting to save your money or whatever, there's rumor that a refreshed Galaxy Nexus Plus with a faster CPU and an improved camera might be on the way. They're pointing that a variant of the Galaxy Nexus could have an enhanced PowerVR SGX 544 graphics processor, as well as an improved 8-megapixel camera. So those of you who jumped on the Galaxy Nexus bandwagon right out of the gate, You might be behind the eight ball.
Two
soon.
Of us are sitting
here. Yeah.
I
think at this point I just expect that.
Of course.
You know, the reality, which is that when you get a phone within a month or two, even if it was the most baddest ass phone when you got it's going to be trumped very
it's
shortly.
It's the law of consumer electronics. Yeah, there's always something better.
It's absolutely worse than buying a car.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But I am really psyched that if the rumor's true, I'm really psyched that they're going to put a better camera in the phone, because that's one of the things that I really do not like about the phone right now, is that it has a very poor, in my assessment, very poor quality camera. Mm-hmm. In fact, I compared photos I took with the Galaxy Nexus to photos I took with my previous phone, which was a Nexus One, and I like the Nexus One photos better. They're less grainy. a little bit higher quality photos when you blow them up. So, yeah, I hope the rumor's true. I hope they put a really good camera in upgraded Galaxy Nexus.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, you got some Mobile World Congress rumors.
Rumors. So the Samsung is actually set to unveil 11.6 inches of Wonder in their Galaxy Tab at Mobile World Congress.
That is big.
Coming up with, and it's supposed to have a WXQGA, lots of letters there, display. According to German language, tabtech.de, Samsung plans to unveil the 11.6-inch Galaxy Tab with ice cream sandwich at Mobile World Congress at the end of February. It also reports that the large tablet should take advantage of Samsung's 2 gigahertz dual-core Exynos 5250 chip. So that's happening, hopefully, as if the rumor is true, at Mobile World Congress. And I'm all for it. I think that a larger tab is warranted at this point.
Sure.
I would love to have a tablet that was as big as my display on my laptop, which is 13 inches. I mean, it's not a huge laptop, but at 13 inches is really nice. And this is getting close, 11.6 inches. So, and also the fact that it can support this, rumored again, to have this latest CPU, the dual core 2 gigahertz CPU, means that it will most likely have a better quality display to take advantage of the bigger real estate.
Size, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're saying it may be up to, I read it here, 2560 by 1600 pixel resolution. So if you're used to an HD display, if you have one at home, it's probably 1920 by 1080. So this blows that out of the water, even though it's a smaller format, and it will be in a 16 by 10 inch pixel aspect ratio.
Mm-hmm.
So so lots of interesting details in this rumor. I hope it's true.
Yeah.
That would be neat.
11.6, that's a...
Hefty.
That's a chunky tablet.
That's a chunky tablet. Imagine a 13-inch chunky tablet.
Oh, but it'll be like butter. It'll be like,
it'll
butter.
Be like butter.
With this new processor.
I just, with all this tablet stuff, true. I always go back to that. Bill Gates had it right 10 years ago.
Yeah.
With that, with, you know, all he wanted was a tablet device, and all, and they were clunky and they were bad, and they were, you know, paired with laptops and things like that. But that's the direction everything's going. I wouldn't be surprised if we have a 13-inch by the end of the year from a manufacturer.
Right.
You know?
So. Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait personally. I think, you know, the smaller ones like the Kindle Fire, a little bit too small for me. Yeah. If I'm going to make, I mean, I've got a fairly large phone now. So if I'm going to make the jump, I'd like to make it to a larger screen, you know, something that I can sit and watch movies, I don't know. I just think that a larger screen size is warranted at this point.
Yep.
So
cool.
And then just real quick, the Asus Pad
phone. Oh, yes. Thank you. Almost forgot. Yes. Mm-hmm. So the Asus Pad phone is also to be unveiled at the Mobile World Congress. Now, this is a little bit different. So this is, if you're looking at the video now, you can take a look at it. It's Asus is supposed to be showing off this Pad phone at the Mobile World Congress, and it's a combination smartphone and tablet dock. So, you know, similar to the Atrix, I think it was, the Motorola Atrix that came out a while ago where the phone kind of plugged into the back of the display. This is going to be similar to that. It's supposed to be running Ice Cream Sandwich for the phone and the tablet side of things, so that's really interesting. And, you know, the first kind of netbook tablet phone combination. It should be very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a really just kind of a change in, you know, I love seeing these new approaches. You know, having the phone dock into the tablet is just kind of an idea that you haven't seen before. Although I do remember when we saw the teasers for the Galaxy Nexus,
right?
You know, it was that one. It was like super curved, and there was the image that was floating around. And I actually thought for a little while, like I was like, oh, you know, that actually looks like it does dock into a tablet.
I heard that.
Tablet,
yeah.
That would be pretty sweet. I mean, that would certainly be a big difference in the paradigm.
Yeah.
So.
And I should mention, too, that it's running a quad-core Tegra 3 processor. Mm-hmm. So similar, I think the Transformer Prime is running that, right, the new one. So it should be similar in terms of performance, if you think of it that way.
Yeah, I suppose it remains to be seen whether that is just kind of, I don't know, a gimmick, or if it's actually something that people in mass will understand,
right?
You know, understand the reason why they would want something like that.
The nice thing about it is, I will say, is that with this, you plug it in, and the assumption is that everything's the same because it says it's running Ice Cream Sandwich on both devices, or it's using the Ice Cream Sandwich off the phone to basically to power the tablet. So the nice thing is all your stuff's there. So if you're using it for a work device or something like that, where you know you don't want to have to transfer files back and forth and stuff like that. It's just all right there. Everything looks the same, so you can work on your phone for a little bit. You go to a client site, you plug the thing into the tablet, it comes up, and all your stuff is right there laid out just as you had it when you were using it before. So from that aspect, I can see the value. Mm-hmm. But you're right. You know, and also, of course, it depends on cost, right?
Yeah, totally.
How much does this thing cost? It's a, assumingly, it's going to be a very expensive accessory. Mm-hmm. So
it's, I mean, at the least, it's going to be in the 500 range.
At least.
And I imagine it's going to be upwards of that.
Yeah.
Enough for it to be a consideration. So, all right, cool. Roll.
All right, some apps. A little app news.
Oh, that's right. We are changing to a different section.
Yes, we are.
I was like, Ron, next I know. Thing. Yeah, the next thing was moving to the next.
And then I was like, wait, do we have a bumper for apps? All of a sudden, do. The wheels fall because we're extreme.
Thank you.
All right, anyway.
I dropped the ball there.
So some interesting app news for those of you who are following this. Koosh released a touch recovery beta for the Nexus S and Galaxy Nexus. Not less than a week since Koosh Duda first showed the touch-enabled Clockwork Mod recovery running on Android 4.0 plus devices. He's now made it, the beta available for everyone to download. They've got builds for CDMA and GSM versions of the Galaxy Nexus as well as the GSM version of the Nexus S. And so it's very simple to do, and there's a whole bunch of information over on the Clockwork Mod Google Plus page. So.
This is good. I mean, I haven't had a rooted device in a while. I keep meaning to root my Galaxy Nexus, and obviously, Clockwork Mod ends up on there. You know, I end up putting it on there. It's just a great recovery.
That's the first thing I did was root my Galaxy Nexus after I signed in with my Google account, and then I said, okay, how do I root this thing? Got it rooted.
Totally.
Got Recovery Mod working on it, and having touch. I mean, that's no small feat because there's no real operating system, or it's a very small operating system, really. But you know, it's not like you have the full Android running to take advantage of the drivers and all that kind of stuff. So getting that running, I mean, it's like working on DOS for years and then suddenly going and getting mouse support all of a sudden, you know, in some of your applications. It's like, whoa, this is great.
Yeah.
So it will be a lot easier. And I kind of wonder if maybe he did that because there's – maybe he knows something. I mean, maybe there's even fewer buttons coming out. I mean, we've already seen where they – on the Galaxy Nexus where – Google decided to, or Samsung decided to take away the physical buttons for the most part, except for volume and power. So, you know, perhaps there's more of that to come, and this is something that's actually needed at that point to actually make selections.
Or following the trend, or just assuming that other people are going to follow that lead. And I mean, it's safe to guess that's kind of at play. So.
Yeah. And I mean, the amount of times, you know, how many times was it? Am I using the Clockwork Mod and, you know, using the volume to go up and down? And just this is cumbersome.
And then you never know. Is it the volume? Is it the trackball?
Yeah, totally.
You know, what is it? What is it that moves the thing up and down? And, oh, I hit delete. Ah,
totally. It's going to make it so much easier. Chat room is correcting us, by the way, on something that I've always wondered.
Oh, the pronunciation.
I didn't know.
Right?
Pronunciation. Yeah. It's Koosh.
Koosh. Given any opportunity to pronounce something that looks oddly spelled, we'll pronounce it wrong.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's your
so
rule.
You know that at least in advance.
There you go. So, sorry, it's Koosh.
I've always said it wrong.
I've always said it wrong too. Yeah. So thank
there
you
we go.
Again, chat room for the
and that's assuming that Web 9879 is accurate in his knowledge of how to pronounce it. So
well,
give
a,
or take.
There's a Google Plus page here from the man himself.
Yeah.
Public service announcement: how to properly pronounce my name.
Yes.
there you go. All right. So let's take a quick email. This is actually a very interesting email and brings up some I think some important stuff to talk about. So here we go. It's from Heather. She says, no matter how I disclaim this, it's going to sound like I need the information for myself, but I'm just genuinely curious and come into contact with a lot of women, some of whom are in overly controlling relationships where this could be an issue. I've been seeing a lot of discussion around monitoring apps that are ostensibly used by parents to monitor their children's whereabouts and activities. However, if you look at the fine print, there is also the ever-present disclaimer, do not use this on your spouse / significant other, as this may not be legal in some blah-de-blah-de-blah. This makes it obvious that these apps are also used for these purposes, not to mention the myriad of apps that come right out and say something along the lines of, track your girlfriend. Hello, Creep Factor. So that got me wondering two things. One, would normal security software like Lookout or AVG pick up the presence of these kinds of software? And two, is there a very simple way to explain to someone how to tell if their Android phone has been rooted without their knowledge? Love the show.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's a kind of a weighty question, but I think it's an interesting and important question to try and field here. I did a little bit of Google Plusing, posted some of the points from this email on Google Plus to see what people thought. As far as the first question, would normal security software like Lookout or AVG pick up the presence of these kinds of software? I think it really depends on what kind of software is being used to track the location of a person. One way that you can kind of get around this potentially is to just turn off GPS. If that GPS isn't active, then if you're being tracked, obviously it's not tracking you by GPS. So if you're being tracked, it's more by the mobile network's location of you, which is a little bit wider. It doesn't completely remove the situation, but certainly doesn't have that fine detailed information that GPS pulls on you. LBE Privacy Guard is an app that allows you to monitor and control permissions on any app on an app-by-app basis. It also finds which apps are trying to steal info via, which you can find that out in the security log. So you might need a little bit of a geeky approach. You know, that's kind of a geeky approach, having to look at the security log to kind of see what's going on there. Now, she mentions Lookout as well as AVG. Lookout Premium, Avast AV, AspotCat, these are all apps that can tell you what permissions apps have and the level of the location tracking that's going on. It can sometimes be confusing, however, because there are a lot of normal things that track you too, like ads and Flurry statistics can kind of pull from that GPS data. Somebody in the Google Plus thread recommended, obviously, a factory reset, which can work a lot of the times, and it's maybe not the most ideal thing in the world. But if you have a root level tracking happening on your phone, that can survive this potentially. You can factory reset, but you're not actually getting to the root and removing the information there. And then my guess is that if you have this going on, you could install a custom ROM. Like, you're rooted. So if you install another custom ROM, isn't that essentially...
Yeah, that would work because that's actually overwriting the image that's running when you boot up the phone. Yeah. So that would be booting a completely different image. So anything that was root layer in terms of things that have been installed to track and things like that, that would definitely get overwritten if you installed CyanogenMod or any of the other custom mods out there that you can put on your phone. So that's definitely a way to go. Plus, you might pick up some cool features that you didn't have before.
Totally, totally. But, I think overall it's going to be very hard to detect, especially if it's root level tracking that's going on. And none of these solutions are the kind of thing where
you could just,
this person could just load up an app and go, oh, I'm being tracked by this thing. Remove that. It requires a little bit of geekiness to know. So there's that. And then the second question, is there a very simple way to explain to someone how to tell if their Android phone has been rooted without their knowledge? And actually, very recently, Jerry Hildebrand of Android Central wrote up a great post about how to do just that. It's a little techie, but if you follow the instructions, it's not that difficult. You download a free terminal app from the market. He recommends ConnectBot. Launch it. If you are rooted, the command prompt will be a pound sign. If you are not rooted, the command prompt will be a dollar sign. So that could tell you right off the top. Further, if you have a dollar sign, this is just a little bit further, enter SU and hit enter. You might get a prompt asking if it's safe to grant permissions for this super user app. Get it? SU stands for super user. Safely grant that permission. Does the prompt now change to a pound? And if it does, then you are in fact rooted. Super user is just kind of one of those root level things. It's how it manages access to those root functions, right?
Right, exactly. So that's exactly what SU does. And you would need to actually, it's not automatically going to come up with the pound symbol. You actually would have to run SU in order to get that up. So, I have a rooted device. When I go into Terminal Emulator, which I would suggest over ConnectBot, actually ConnectBot is usually used for SSH connections. Mm-hmm. You want something like Terminal Emulator. Go into Terminal Emulator, type SU, and then hit enter. And if it actually lets you in and gives you that pound, the prompt will change a little bit. It'll give you a pound. That's a good way to know if your device has been rooted. It's an easy way to know. Terminal Emulator is free. You can go download it, check it out. It takes you about 2 or 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And actually, just real quick, Web8097, I doubt that's your permanent nick in the chat, but he just posted a link to an app called Root Checker Basic. And it is an app that quite basically does what it says. It checks to see if you have root.
Even easier.
Yeah, even easier.
That's pretty easy. Yeah.
That's kind of what you're looking for.
It's kind of basic.
Yeah. That's what you're looking for here. You know, if you're talking to a lot of people who maybe want to check this kind of stuff out and aren't super technologically adept in this kind of stuff, this seems like the kind of thing. Like, is my phone rooted? Yes or no? Verify. Yeah. And boom, it tells you. So thank you for that chat room. Yet again, you guys.
You guys rock. Are the awesome. I would really hate to be any sort of situation where this was like an open question.
Right.
You know, absolutely. Like, especially in that context, it's like, this is why, I mean, it goes back to a few episodes ago when we got the questions about, I don't want my girlfriend to see what I was looking at, you know, like things like just do like keep your phone close to your person as possible at all times. Yeah. You know, I can't even, I would never do that to my significant other, much less I can't, but people are.
I've got a solution for that, but yeah. Talk about that.
You know, I don't know. I guess that's why it's kind of a sticky subject. Yeah. And, you know, when you first start reading it, you're like, ugh.
Yeah, no. It's,
but I think it's important because you never, I mean, you know, it depends on the situation, obviously, but you don't always have your phone in your hand.
Right, no, yeah.
And if the situation calls for it, you might very well have good reason to wonder, has someone taken my phone and put something on it?
Right, but there's other reasons why you might, I don't know what the email was that you're referring to. There's other reasons you might want that. You know, there's some things that, when we're driving in the car, the kids like to play games on the phone, right? Mm-hmm. Well, there might be a TV show or something that you're watching that you may not want them to see. Mm-hmm. So there are ways to you know, hide some of those files and make sure that you're, you know, looking out for their best interests as well. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely. All right. Well, I hope that's helpful. Let's take another quick break and thank our other sponsor, Netflix. We are brought to you by Netflix. We've had Netflix as a sponsor of the show many times. And if you haven't used Netflix already, you really don't know what you're missing. I realize more and more I talk about kid-focused things because my life is almost ruled by my two-year-old. But one thing I've realized over the past week, and I kind of knew this already, but I've really realized it, is their kids' show selection is awesome. There's like endless supply of shows if you want, you know, like Curious George or whatever. But even beyond that, their TV selection is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like they have many TV series, and it's the entire series. We were kind of looking through, and everybody's been talking about Friday Night Lights around here for some reason. Yeah. So we're like, okay, fine, we'll check this thing out. And I've just used that as a reason to kind of check and see what other series are there. And I mean, they're all there. All the South Park episodes are there, Futurama.
I know Portlandia is in its second season. IFC season one is up now, so you can go back and revisit that. I mean, both new and old stuff. Like, I've been talking about watching 30-something. Eileen's been watching Gossip Girl. Mm-hmm. Personally, for me, the coming off the heels of the new Louis C.K. Comedy special, the $5 one that he did, there's a bunch. His previous comedy shows are all up on Netflix, hilarious and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They're great. Right. Yeah. So,
yeah.
I'm always watching old 80s stuff. So,
nice. Yep.
We got Incredible Hulk,
the A-Team.
MacGyver, A-Team, you know, all that stuff. Cosby Show.
Reliving the glory days.
I tell you what, the Cosby Show is holding up for us pretty well.
Oh,
the kids
really?
The kids have been watching Cosby Show, and it's, you know, some good values to learn and good lessons to learn there.
Totally.
So,
wow. Yeah. I haven't seen that in a long time, but it's all there. So you should definitely check it out. There's obviously also a lot of really good movies and stuff, but I've just been so focused on the TV shows they've had lately. So I'm getting all stoked about that. So you should check it out. Netflix has their instant streaming to just tons of different devices, including your Android device. So try Netflix today for 30 days for free. Go to netflix.com/twit. Be sure to use that URL. When you sign up, that'll get you the free trial. It's netflix.com/twit. And we thank you, Netflix, for your support of All About Android and all the shows on the Twit Network. You guys are fantastic. And with that, let's get battling. Let's duke it out in the arena.
Two enter, one lives. Android Arena.
Boom. Okay, so there's a little bit of a little bit of controversy here.
A little bit.
I gotta say.
Well, no, I mean, it's fairly solved. It's fair. Do you want to explain the controversy here, Mister?
Yeah, I'll go ahead and approach this. So you remember last week. Okay. Well, first of all, okay. So let's just take a look at the straight results.
You know, it's going to be bad.
Wins. With 38% of the votes. Osmos was second with 37%.
Very close, by the way, by three votes.
Hipster, third place with 25%. I mean, overall, pretty even voting.
So last week's episode was apps that came out in the month of January.
Yeah, by January 1st.
And,
I criticized Ron.
Pre-show.
It wasn't criticism.
No,
you
caught it. We joked about it on the show. You caught it, the fact that I was going to talk about an app that had come out in December.
And the only reason I knew that is because the comments, it had that 30-day thing where it shows you, how long it's been tracking for the last 30 days. And I knew that because it was off the graph, then it had been longer than 30 days, which means it was into December. And there were comments that were in December.
And I should probably give credit where credit's due because I didn't pick up on it. But one of the great folks in our audience,
nothing gets past
who possibly might be on my side, maybe, but Sky Coulter on Twitter tweeted at me on a couple of days after the show came out and said, "Wait a minute." Wait, I'll read his exact tweet, actually. And Chad, I can give you the URL if you want to pull it up. I'll throw it in the chat room. There you go. Sky Coulter says, "You should check out to see when Raygun One's app was created. I think I saw a review on the market from December 15th. Ouch. So Skylar Wicklander, thank you for – and sure enough, I go and check, and your app has reviews as far back as December 12th.
Yeah, it's funny. I did not – I checked it on yours, and in my head, I was like, wow, I got to really make sure and check mine just so that just for this.
You know what that means?
Of course, I did not.
Disqualified.
Oh, yeah, totally disqualified.
Disqualified.
I fess up to it. I obviously did not see that. I wish I could find the email.
I love the technicalities. That's my favorite thing about the arena because when we come up with these elaborate specific things, even though I didn't win, Eileen. So now clearly if you're disqualified, Eileen wins with Osmos. Which got 37% of the vote. So I did lose. I'll take the loss. That's fine.
Yeah.
But, and I'll enjoy your suffering.
Yeah, no. And I suffered on this one.
When I saw that email, I
freaked. I was like, no. Yeah. And then I went on my phone and I was trying to find it. I was like, well, I see the comment there. Maybe like it didn't appear on the website because that's where I found the app. I'm going on the website. And then I went on the website and there were comments. And I talked to the developer and of course he apologized.
But I'm sure he apologized.
Here was his approach. Is that the Google market, when you're doing stuff like launching for a beta to a controlled set of users, you have to launch it in the market.
Right.
His official launch was in January, and that's what he thought that the requirements of our thing was.
Right.
His beta launch was mid-December, and he had a controlled set of people that he knew testing the app, and that's the only way that he could get it up to a point where he felt like it was an official launch.
Right.
But that really doesn't qualify for the requirements that we set. We said it had to hit in the market by January 1st or beyond. So, oh, and great. There's a video review on the. Well, there you go. I had no idea about that one.
That's great. Good.
Well, there you go. So, anyways, regardless, I'm happy I talked about the app because I've been really.
Wait, is that on
it.
The app's video?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's clever on the developer. Good job there.
I know, right?
You should get a cut of that.
No, it's okay. Anyways, so. Eileen wins with Osmos through
by
disqualification.
Dang it. So, oh well.
That's okay. He got attention to his app, and I'm happy about
that. And it's a good app. We're not taking anything away from the app.
Absolutely
purely
not.
Just Jason's inability to follow rules.
Yeah. No, so, apparently. Yeah. This is twice now.
Yeah, it's twice. There should be a three times and you're out and you're off the show.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I see the Jex and I go right into that Twit logo. Let's make it happen, folks.
Big red button right here.
Big red button.
Yep.
So this week, it's just a your run of the mill grab bag week, which turned out to be all free apps. Ron, you lost last week, so apparently you want to go for the easy win by attacking the jugular.
Well, it's been so long since I've gone first. It's like I got a little rusty or whatever. But I actually have my app this week is going to come off as a little obvious. Quite often, we're always looking for apps that are a little more obscure, apps that you might not have known about. At least that's what I kind of do. But every now and then, an app that is somewhat no brainer comes up, and I'm like, I should kind of promote that. And in this particular case, I do have a good story. So my app is a free app this week, and it is the app, the official Yelp app. And for those of you who are not familiar, Yelp is probably the leading, user community of reviewing businesses, in pretty much every metro market I can imagine. And the reason why I wanted to call this up is because for literally years, I have not had the Yelp app on my phone, because when they first released it for Android, it was so location-based dependent. You pulled up the app, it found your location, would only tell you places that were nearby you.
Right.
And to me, that became useless because I wanted either I was going somewhere or I had some other reason to use it. It was a very specific use case. So I specifically deleted the app and I would use the website, because I would just type in – for those of you who – don't use Yelp. For me, it's one of the most must-have kind of offerings on the web in terms of looking for restaurants, looking for businesses, getting an idea of what the users are saying about it, what real people are saying, not just kind of marketing flack. So I would just go to the browser, and you would always get the interrupt that would say, "Download the Yelp Android app." I'm like, "No, that sucks," and I'd say no, and I can't even tell you for how long that I did that. I just totally disregarded it. And then I just happened to be bored in New York City over the holidays, and I was waiting to meet somebody, and I was looking up for bars, and I went to the web, and I got their interrupt, and I'm like, oh, maybe I'll see if they've changed it. And sure enough, they have. And now it is a much more fully functional kind of app. That is the kind of app that I would want to see. So we can take a look at it here very quickly, and I can show you, and we can go right there. So here you get a very clear, easy to see icons. And you get the ability to choose whether you want to search nearby or if you just want to search directly out. That is basically the function that I wanted. I just wanted to search for it. I want to type, Japanese in Berkeley or whatever it might be. They also have, because Yelp has implemented their whole check-in service to kind of compete with Foursquare and all that stuff does exist. And especially if you're a Yelp user and you enter reviews and things like that, you can go to your profile and all that sort of stuff. I'm not. I'm purely just a consumer of reviews. But so if you hit the nearby button, it will pick up. It will give you the options of the types of businesses you're looking for. I'm looking for bars, and it's going to utilize location-based services to give you a list of the bars that are nearby. My gripe with the previous Yelp app was that it didn't have complete information. It had a lot of the name, the address, and that was about it. And me, I kind of depend on the reviews. So if I'm looking for a place to drink, I'm going to go check out the Buckhorn. And here I get a whole bunch of pretty much all the information that is available on the Yelp website, which is what you would want from the official app. And so basic information, the ability to do the Yelp extra stuff if you're a Yelp power user, click to open up a map, find directions, call directly, or the most important thing, if you ask me, is the reviews and quick tips. And that's where, and really the power of an app like this is quick, fast access to see what the community is saying. And so, scrolling through, I can go through and I can open up a review and I can read the entire thing. Personally, on a side note, this is a little selfish because I absolutely love doing dramatic readings of Yelp reviews. Because honestly, a lot of people who are writing Yelp reviews are actually pretty good writers. And a lot of times they write, wonderful little, like in this particular case, Amber reviewed the Buckhorn. And she says she feels a little embarrassed about giving a bar 5 stars, but I have to give it up to the Buckhorn. My boyfriend and I live down the street and come here every now and then. I like to get lost in their world. So I have a blast just reading the reviews. But it's when you're in a strange city, when you're looking for a place to eat, when you get out of dinner with friends, you're like, oh, let's go get a drink. Where can we go? Every time I go to Yelp on the web, and now it's glad to see that. And I don't know when they came out with this last release. It could have been a year ago. I've been late to the game.
Yeah.
And so, it's one of those apps that when you get your phone, if you're out and about, if you go out a lot, if you're looking for places to eat, looking for places to drink, it's one of those must-haves that you got to have on your phone. So.
Yeah. No, I definitely have it on my phone and use it regularly.
And I haven't used it for a while. Like, I don't even know when it updated. I was going to look up to see when it updated.
It updated a little. It's definitely been a little while with that new
I wish they would let you write reviews. They don't let you write reviews from the phone. That's one thing that I don't like about it.
Yeah.
Hamper your chances or anything here.
No, it's the arena, man. It's the arena.
Yeah, I don't like the fact that they don't let you write reviews right from the phone. You can draft a review and then you have to go online later and actually submit it. It's like, what?
Yeah.
I want to, because I forget. By the time I get home, I forget what I ordered. So, I think it's important that you have to add that functionality in. The thing I do like about it, though, is it has a bookmark feature.
Yep.
So when we're sitting around, maybe we're sitting around with friends or whatever, and they say, oh, you got to go check out this restaurant. I can pull up Yelp, bookmark it, and then come back later. And I was like, oh, what was the name of that restaurant they mentioned? I can't remember it. Yep. Pull up Yelp. That's right there. And then you can go check out the reviews from there and go over and check it out. Yep. So
while it's not a new app, we never said it earlier, we Lord knows what happened when we tried to do new apps. But it's an app that's been useful to me and one that I've rediscovered myself and rediscovered the power of it. And that while there's some shortcomings, you're right, like about the being able to write reviews, it is pretty handy. And especially if you find yourself, dining out a lot.
Incredibly useful if you're dining out.
out, yeah. or you just kind of want to find out more information or an easy really way to search for services.
One of the quiet powerhouses of the web in terms of, like, you know, Web 2.0 and all stuff like that. Yelp is you type in a restaurant name, and I know there's a big there are lots of battles between Yelp and Google about Google burying their results and things like that. But you know, it is I depend on it when I look for a place. I mean, I've tried to stick to the Google world where I use Google Maps and I search and then I find a place, I hit on it, and I just find the Google reviews and stuff like that just lacking compared to the Yelp community. They're just an amazing, powerful community that's, like, worldwide. So
I mean, I just moved to Petaluma not too long ago, so we've needed to find, you know, certain things around town, and I've absolutely used that app regularly to find that out. So very useful. All right, Aaron, you want to go next?
Yep, definitely. So need to clear my throat because
and at some point talk about what you have.
Yeah, this blew our mind in the pre-show.
We'll definitely talk about that. But let me introduce the app first, and then I'll tell you how you're actually seeing the app. So the app is called Wiimote Controller, and it does exactly that. It lets you connect a Wiimote to your phone. Now, I should say up front, not all phones are supported. You have a much better chance of being supported if you're running a custom mod. So if you're running Cyanogen mod or one of the other mods that's available, because what happens is the manufacturers don't always load a complete Bluetooth driver protocol into their phones. So what happens is it may not support it in that case. Luckily, if you go to the website, you can go to the market, click on the website. You can find out exactly if your phone is supported or not. If it is, definitely go check that out. Download it. It's a free app. What it does is, just like it says, it lets you connect your Wiimote to your phone. And this is really cool if you like to play old style video games like I do. If you like to play, old Nintendo games or Atari games on your phone, it does it just exactly that. So I can actually give you a quick demo. So I've got the app running on my phone. And if I press the 1 and the 2 button, then the Wiimote will actually start searching for a connection. And I hit init and connect in the app, and it should find it. It did. And now it says it's done. It's connected. Actually, the little button is lit up on the Wiimote, so I know it's connected. And
hold that up.
And if I start, I don't know if you can see it.
See, we have it in
the lights. The light's on. So it's actually connected. And if I actually start pressing buttons, if we go back to the app, you'll see that it's actually capturing data from the various buttons that I'm pressing, right? So you know it's connected. Then the next thing you do is very simple. As it says on the app, there's a step 1 and a step 2. Step 2 is select the Wiimote controller. You have to do that in order to get the input from the Wii to actually control a game or something. So it's a little bit involved. Now that that's connected, I can actually go to a game or something. In this case, I'll pull up my Nintendo emulator here and pull up Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. I've actually got a game in progress. And I've already got the controls mapped, so I can just actually start it.
That's so cool.
And play with use the Wiimote as a controller. So you do have to go into the emulator and map the buttons out so it knows what you want to do. But once you do that, then actually you can see I'm rocking back and forth here.
So much better than playing an emulated game with a touchscreen.
Yeah.
Chad, should we show him actually using the Wiimote to prove? Oh, I see.
If you do a close-up, if you go back to my camera, I can show you. There we go. So I've got the Wiimote here, and I'm actually pressing
there. There we go, Chad. There we go. That's the
I'm good down, one. So I've got to get back up.
That's the good stuff.
There, I'm back up. So there's no way I'm going to win against this guy. He's too. I'm dead.
Don't say that, man.
Oh, no. Okay.
Don't ever say that. You can do it.
Piston Honda. Yeah. Why must you vex me?
Oh, that's great.
So that's it. I mean, that's my app for the week. And like I said, it's free. You can hit the wrong button. Go back to game.
So it's running in the background.
It's running in the background. And
while you're running a separate emulator.
While I'm running a separate emulator, and it's just picking up the inputs from the Wiimote, and I've mapped those out to, you know, whatever buttons, A, B, up, down, what have you. So it's great. Also, if you're like me and you travel a little bit, you can take it on the road. You can always throw a Wiimote in your bag.
Totally portable.
Absolutely portable. And you don't have to go spend a lot of money on an expensive controller for your for your phone. The other thing that's great about it is it's Bluetooth, which means that I can run this MHL to HDMI adapter, which I showed you guys earlier on, which is actually how we're getting the video from the from my phone out to all of you guys to see. It's actually going over HDMI via this MHL technology, which is built into some of the newer phones. I believe the Razer has it. The Galaxy Nexus has it. So instead of a separate – I was a little bit puzzled actually by this because when I got the Galaxy Nexus, I said, well, I thought it had HDMI out, but I don't see a mini HDMI out plug. Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Well, it's because it has a technology called HML built in, which is high definition video and audio out to an MHL compatible device, or you can use an adapter to get it to go through HDMI as we're doing here. And when you do that, it has, it's really high quality, and you can connect it up to any HDMI compatible device
so
that way.
Cool.
So we were playing with it a little bit here, and it, it seems to work pretty well. I've played with it for a few weeks now.
I mean, it works great, and we will absolutely be getting that for the show, just because
it's great for demos. And,
yeah, I mean, we're always struggling with the over-the-shoulder cameras, and you know, making it so that you actually see everything. We don't reflect the light and all that kind of stuff.
That's such a specific, like, spot-on functionality for us.
Oh,
you
totally
know what I mean?
No,
like,
but it's so useful for the way you're using it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It too,
or if you're on the road, you know, a lot of the TVs are flat screen in hotel rooms and stuff now. So I bring an HDMI cable with me,
that's
hook
so
it up
cool.
to
watch
the TV.
Video, yeah.
That's how I watch whatever video I wanted. I didn't
pull
have to
up
put
the Netflix app.
Absolutely. Yeah. Netflix works. I watch anime on it, play games like this all the time.
So cool.
It works really, really well.
Sometimes technology is just awesome.
And
there
are new TVs coming now, so you wouldn't have to have an adapter. You could actually just have
a direct cable
to plug into HML on your TV.
Yeah.
There's only a few phones right now, or a few TVs right now that support that.
Yeah.
And a few phones.
I wish the TriCaster supported that. Then we could just zap it over to the TriCaster and have to plug in a cord.
Yeah. There you go.
Someday new tech will make that happen. So that is Wiimote controller.
Exactly what it says.
And I feel like I've heard of a way to do this with a PS3 controller, too.
There's ways to do it with PS3 controllers and other Bluetooth type controllers. There's other applications out there that allow you to do that. This one just happens to do it really well for the Wiimote. So, like I said, it was just a matter of saving me $20 or $40 going out and getting a brand new Bluetooth gamepad.
Yeah,
I can just use the Wiimote.
Awesome. I'm thinking about last week when Eileen was showing off the Transformer Prime, and she had it hooked up to the monitor via HDMI and had the PS3 thing. You could do that with your phone now with this.
That's absolutely.
Absolutely. Very cool. Very cool.
I guess we'll have to get you a new phone.
I know. So, sadly.
We can do that for all three of us. But if that's the case, and we're going to have one of these, then we're going to have to get used to the next part, which is when I say, can I have it, please?
Yes, absolutely. I'll pass it over.
All right, cool. Because then I will plug this bad boy into my phone.
And hopefully
and
it
hope
works.
It works. And if not, I'll do what I did last time, which is turn the screen off, turn it back on, turn it back on.
There we go.
And we're in. Okay, cool. So my app, let's see here. What is my app? I'm blown away by all the cool stuff here. My app is called One Weather. Yeah, it's a weather app. But it's a really good weather app. That's the thing. That's why I chose it. So first of all, Chad, if you take my home screen here, you'll see in the center, this is the widget. It's a weather app that is actually developed by the same folks. Let's see here. Same team that do Tweetcaster and Bacon Reader, both of which are very well-designed apps. Bacon Reader I've been using a lot lately to monitor their Android subreddit, and it's just really just a pleasure to use. And this just came out probably a couple of weeks ago. So first of all, what you see in the center there is just a widget. It's a widget created around my location. You can set multiple locations within the app and then create a widget for your home screen. It's all tailored to kind of fit the ice cream sandwich mode. So it looks good in the ice cream sandwich world for the most part. And then the One Weather logo right next to it. But I'm going to go ahead and click the widget, and it's going to take me into the app once it loads here. And there we go. Chad, you are awesome. Okay, so this is the app. It's a weather app. And I mean, some people are going to be like, who cares about a weather app? And quite frankly, weather apps are pretty single purpose for the most part. You open it up when you need to see the weather.
It says it's cool, though. It knows that it's cool.
It knows that it's cool.
And clear.
Let me tell you. The reason I actually chose to do this is because, you know, we've talked a lot about designing good quality apps that look
beautiful, ones,
enticing. And this app, as far as weather apps are concerned, all of the weather apps that I've used in the past are just so cluttered, and they're just not enjoyable to use. You open it up, and you know what you really want to see is a 7-day forecast, and what is it right now? Mm-hmm. And this app just right off the top has really just easy, straightforward ways to kind of navigate through the points. Yeah. It also has a cool little fancy features here. So top weather picks, I could take or leave that. I don't really open up a weather app to look at weather picks, but there is tweets, and it narrows the tweets based on the area.
Is it based on weather?
It factors in weather tweets based in the area that you're at. So, you know, obviously I'm not getting a whole lot of fresh weather information from Petaluma right now. But if there was a significant weather event happening here. Sure.
Big snowstorm, freak snowstorm.
Yeah, it totally. You'd see a lot of it right here and you wouldn't have to go very far to try and look it up. So it's a good way to kind of gauge the weather situation locally. Sun and moon is another, you know, part of this. Sunrise, sunset, moonrise, moonset, all that kind of stuff. If you care to look at that, which I probably don't spend a whole lot of time on. It has the pretty straightforward radar here, which you can kind of go into and really kind of bring up more of the information if radar is kind of your thing. This is for weather fans, by the way. Yeah. Do you remember that old ad on the Weather Channel like years and years ago? Weather fans! Yep. This is totally for people who actually care about weather. Precipitation, it has a really easy readout. And just, again, it's just kind of pleasant to look at.
It's good data visualization.
Yes. It actually is.
Exactly.
That's really cool.
Easy to consume, easy to read.
Mm-hmm. Very easy to just open it up and get the information that you want in a really quick way. Again, severe weather, which you'd get alerts here. It can also pop up notifications in your notification bar for significant weather events. It has a 7-day forecast, which you can kind of scroll through and take a look at. Again, very easy to read. It's funny when you look at this, the reason that I was even drawn to this in the beginning is because it almost looks like a home screen in and of itself. And I was like, ooh, I wonder what kind of launcher that is. But it ended up being a weather app. But just the way it's designed, it's very inviting, like a good launcher home screen. Mm-hmm. And then finally, this is really just your main page. This is the page that kind of has the pertinent information that you need to know right now. What temperature is this? 50 degrees outside. It's obviously nighttime in Petaluma, you know, all that specific information. These bits of data down here, humidity, precipitation, wind speed, you can actually change those to be other things. If you go into settings and layout, you can tick those off.
See, you can change the weather from this app?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Now, wow.
It's powerful.
I want it to be warmer.
Can you go back to that? Now, that's a great point because the thing I feel as if a lot of the really pretty designed apps always fall a little short on the settings side because then it falls into – and it's halfway there because the first settings screen is still very Android developer-y settings thing. But that screen, I've never – that's pretty. That just works. Settings, exactly. Right, yeah, totally. So it's almost there. I mean, it's not worth voting for, but it's almost there.
Well, you don't have to vote for it, Ron. Everybody else can if they want to and will, I would imagine, right? Right.
It's not as fun as playing games on your phone, but
that is very true. So anyways, you know, it's a weather app. There really isn't a whole lot more to say about this. Again, you could go home and you could add other places too. So
is there a version that you can donate and lose the ads during?
Weird that it swaps there.
It is weird.
Because of the keyboard, probably. So if I type in San Francisco, we'll let that, and I'll choose that. And now I can set up multiple different places once it refreshes. Okay, there it did refresh.
Cool. I love those little thing. So now can you chip in to get rid of the ad, or is the ad required?
It is a free app right now. It's ad supported.
Yeah. But there's no pro version or anything like that.
There is no pro version yet. I would not be surprised if there is eventually. I think it's I think it's always good for devs to either have an app in their or an ad in their free version and offer a premium version to remove the ad, because people that are going to be using your app all the time are not going to want to necessarily look at an app every time and are willing to pay a couple of dollars to get rid of that.
Right. At the same time, if you're going to put an ad in, it's good to put it in an app that you use all the time.
No, absolutely.
Because you get that revenue based on views.
Right. So, but you're creating a high quality app.
It's nice to have a choice.
Absolutely. With an ad, if it's high enough quality, people are willing to overlook the fact that there's an ad there. And yay, developers get paid. And that's really what it's all about for a healthy marketplace. There we go. So again, it's One Weather, and that's the number one weather. There's no space in between them. It's just the number one weather. Check it out in the Android market. It is free, and I've been liking it. I will continue to use this. The widget alone is just actually pretty cool. It doesn't take up a whole lot of space and tells you everything you need to know.
You know where they pull their data from? You might have said that. Maybe I was spacing
out. That's a really good question. I don't know if they're getting it from Google Weather or if they're getting it from somewhere else. Let's see.
Sorry to throw you off. I know a lot of the National Weather Service.
I meant to look that up, and I don't.
Chat room says AccuWeather, but I don't know.
AccuWeather.
AccuWeather.
Or is that an app that he was?
Or a telecast.
No, he doesn't know. He's
It could be any one of these.
I honestly don't know
the answer to that. Yeah. It would be nice to be able to choose.
It would be nice to be able to choose
like Google, Google Weather or any of those others, IntelliCast, right. whatever. But hey, this literally, it's a 2 week old app and it just came out. So this would have qualified.
You could have used that.
You would have won naturally because it's a good app. Right. Yeah. So.
All right.
Except that ad, man. That ad gets in the way. I think that's your ding there.
I don't know if that's a ding. So this week we've got Yelp, we have the Wiimote controller, and we have One Weather. You can vote for those. Vote for your favorite this week at bit.ly/poll8843. Yes.
Well, except that this is episode 45.
I changed the URL. If you look at the URL, it's 45.
Or poll AAA45.
On the lower third, it's correct.
That would actually be better.
Okay, yeah, don't listen to me. You'll go there and you'll see apps you already voted for. That's hilarious. bit.ly/poll8843.
And that will be ready. That's going to be ready
at the end of the show. For
post
you
show, view. Yeah. So,
cool.
Chad is
wonderful. Chad wins.
Awesome.
So,
by the way, we don't say it enough. Chad, you are awesome.
Yeah,
it's
amazing.
That guy takes care of
us. And you can always tell how busy Jason is during a day.
Yeah, that's true.
When it comes to the URL.
Just go to AAA poll 2 for episode 2 because we just started this show. And
So bit.ly/AAPoll45 and you can go and vote for Yelp.
Chad's
One Weather is running away with it with 17. You thought mine was going to be a layup, but I think I'm going to get a stinker again this week.
I just assumed. Yeah. Yelp has a lot of users. Yeah. It could end up being a battle between a weather app and a Wiimote controller app.
Yeah.
Both, I think, are pretty cool.
So. Yeah.
Says a lot about our audience, I think.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Really? It's all about audience demographics.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Radical.
But it's been fun. This has been a fun time.
Yeah. The show. No, we've had a great episode.
Yeah, the mandroid.
It wasn't too manly,
although we did
there
have
a few points.
We could have been a lot worse.
We did have a picture of a girl in the toilet with a phone. So yeah. I don't know if Eileen would have let that one through.
Couldn't have avoided that. Yeah, that was part of the article.
Yeah, I know.
It was a part of the study. Maybe,
I can't say it was tasteful.
Okay, all right. Well, cool. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. And Aaron, thanks again for coming on to the show and
helping
us out. You've got some awesome Android knowledge and we love having you on.
Absolutely.
Go ahead and pimp whatever you want.
So definitely check me out here on the Twit Network. You can watch Floss Weekly, which I am an occasional co-host. So I fill in quite regularly. In fact, I'll be back on the middle of February, February 22nd, maybe. Is that a Wednesday? Somewhere around there. I'll be back on Floss Weekly, so definitely check me out there. You can also check me on. There you go.
No, sorry. Yes, 22nd. You were right.
I was right.
I was on January. Sorry.
So, yeah, check me out on the 22nd. I'll be back at the Brick House for that episode. And then also you can check out thesourceshow.org, where I've got a couple of episodes I'm working on, my other video podcast about making, hacking, and open source software. So definitely check that out. You can add me to your circles on Google+. That's my preferred way of staying in contact and sharing the kind of interesting things. In fact, that's one of the stories I shared was the bathroom Android thing.
Nice.
Thank you.
It was a good one. You're the one to blame.
You can blame me for that one. Definitely add me to your circles or just go to aaronnewcomb.com and you can follow me however you want. So there you go.
Rad. Awesome. Well, thanks again. We'll be having you back very soon. And Ron, go.
Yes. Longtime watchers of the show know you can find me at about.me/RonXO, and that's got links to my Twitter, my Facebook, Google+, all the fun places I like to hang out on the web, including ifanboy.com, which is the comic book blog that I help run, as well as graphically.com, which is my day job, where we make some great Android apps, actually, that you can use on the Nook, Amazon Kindle Fire, all fun stuff like that. So go follow me in whatever social network you prefer.
You're all over the place.
I try to get around. I do my best.
Right on. And I'm Raygun01 on Twitter, as well as about.me/Jason Howell for all the many other ways you can find me on the internet.
And will Eileen be back next week?
Eileen will be back next week. Absolutely.
Yes. Refreshed and ready to go.
And I can give her crap for ruining Path for me by posting.
Yeah, right.
They've been posting photos on their vacation.
I'm so jealous. They're such jerks for going on vacation.
No, not fair.
They think they could just go on vacation, relax. Yeah. Whatever. Well, anyways, hopefully Eileen checks out the show and realizes how much she missed out
on the Mandroid show.
That is it for this week. Send us a voicemail. We'd love to include your voices in the show. 347-SHOW-AAA. You can hit us up on email. It's AAA@twit.tv as well. Send us a video mail there. We love those. Find the show on Twitter, @AndroidShow. Find the show notes for this show and all of our other shows at twit.tv/AAA. And finally, you can catch the show live every Monday 5:30 p.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv. That is it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android.
There you go.